You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and the digital Don Logan Norton here at Allegiant Stadium, where we are about to break down the 45-20 loss for your Las Vegas Raiders. Thank you for hanging out with us for another episode of Upon Further Review brought to you by, Upon Further Review brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And hanging out with us today, man, our guy Jesse Merrick. And you know what? It's a fitting that Jesse joined us today, last minute. Everything is up in the air this week, Jesse. It's a wild week for all of us, the offensive line. But you know what they say, it's the old cliche, next man up. And Jesse was good enough to switch his schedule around and hang out. So Jesse, where to even begin? I know the scoreboard looks bad. It doesn't look, it's not a pretty number when you let in 45 points. But let's just, I guess we'll just start here. How do you think, all things considered, this mix and match, whatever you want to call it, offensive line held up under obviously what were certainly far from ideal circumstances today?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rough one overall to break down, but I think that's the area you got to start if you're looking for positives to take from this. I think they only allowed 2 sacks today on Derek Carr. I mean, if you would have said, given the situation, all this stuff, then they're also going to lose Gabe Jackson and also Sam Young as well for a portion there, that they're only going to allow 2 sacks. I'm sure most people would take that, especially against this defense. So, I mean, that's somewhere where you can kind of gather a little bit of a win from this. And everybody said it post-game, all the players, you know, you got to give love to the offensive line. They're not in the building all week long, and then they got to go against this Tampa defense and try to do it without any miscommunication. And obviously they said there were some of that there in the game. So, look, I mean, given the situation, as crazy as all that is to have to go and play against one of the top defenses in the league, you got to tip your cap to those guys for sure.
And Logan, this has been a year of weird weeks. I feel like every week, every Monday, we're sitting there and when we're talking, like, boy, yesterday was a weird one. And was today, I don't even want to say today, Logan, but was this week leading up to everything, like going, you know, dealing with everything that's happened, no Jonathan Abram, the offensive line literally shows up this morning. Was it realistic to even expect that the Raiders would come out with a win today?
Well, I definitely think, you know, there was a chance, but you're right. I mean, all the challenges that happened leading up to this, Jonathan Abram can't play on his birthday. You know, in the offensive line, you know, Patrick Omame, whoever it may be, against that front, we had no idea. But you guys are right. They held up really well. The offense had a great night, and it was 24-20, and there was a chance, and it just got out of hand. And you're right, the scoreboard definitely doesn't tell the story of the game.
You know, and we'll get to the things that concerned, you know, kind of concerned me going forward in just a second. But I mean, like you guys said, really all things considered, I thought Derek Carr struck kind of a perfect tone again post game, which is no shocker because that's kind of what he does. But he's saying, look, I'm really proud of the guys. I'm really proud of the effort. They did a lot of good things, but was it good enough? No, it wasn't good enough. But one guy who was good enough, one guy who's really been quote unquote good enough all year is Nelson Aguilar. And Jesse, I don't know if it's the desert, I don't know if maybe he just didn't like the cold in Philly or what it is, the USC guy gets in the warm weather, but my God, dude, he's been incredible. And he was that once again. His line for the day, 5 catches, 107 yards and a touchdown. I mean, what else can you say about a guy who really flew under the radar as a free agent signing this year? But I mean, he's been incredible for this team.
He really has been. And think about when the Raiders signed him. Everybody scoffed at it. You know, they're all talking about the drops and they're using the gif of the guy that was catching babies out of the window, all that stuff. And people are literally like tallying Aguilar drops. I found myself doing it at the beginning of the year. Now me and everybody else is kind of starting to disappear and get away from that because the guy has just been so solid. You know, a guy that Derek Carr can turn to and, you know, really trust that he's going to come down with the ball, and he's done it in multiple games. So that's been really impressive. You know, especially when you see him being that guy that kind of continues and keeps rolling, you know, when everybody else is kind of struggling. You know, he's that guy that Carr can go to and is confident. We heard Gruden talk about all the time, too, how much confidence he has in him, especially for a guy coming in an offseason and an offense that's really hard to learn and figure it all out in a condensed area. And he's looked the best out of everybody in that receiving core, Darren Waller aside.
I mean, Logan, you obviously, we talk about all the time, where you, prior to this, prior to your career as a Raider or whatever you want to call it, you just watched a lot more football than I did. I don't remember Nelson Aguilar having this in his bag prior to 3 weeks ago. Like, what did I miss, Logan?
You know, he didn't, Eddie. I mean, he always had the speed and he had the playmaking ability. But, I mean, we all, you know, we're aware of him on social media. But, yeah, I mean, he's filled in really. I mean, he was a depth piece almost, like you guys had mentioned. And with some of the injuries, I mean, he's been asked to almost be the guy. And, you know, there's a couple plays tonight. He definitely wants back and we all want back, but he's been one of the most valuable free agent signings, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. I think, obviously, you look at him, you look at the kind of the effort, the spirit, the gumption of the Raiders' offensive line. That's great. But I don't want to be negative, Eddie, but I'm looking at the game, Logan. And, you know, I've talked so much all year about how much I love the methodical, kind of quote-unquote unsexy Raiders offense. But it really hit me again today like a heavy object you want to say. But when we don't have that balance, dude, it's like, this offense kind of, I don't know if it has an identity yet, because I know that we saw 2 weeks ago where we can go out, Derek can throw for 400 yards, he can go toe-to-toe with the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But I wonder if that was more of an aberration, but I don't know if that's really who we want to be, if that makes sense, Logan.
Yeah, I mean, we have to have the run game going. Josh Jacobs, I mean, this just can't happen. I mean, I don't see how we win if Josh Jacobs, you know, if this happens. And I know, I mean, the Bucs defensive front, yeah, you guys mentioned it, best in the league, you know, and they, you know, beat up the Packers last week coming off a bye. But, you know, Jake, we just have to get him going. We have to, you know, like you've always mentioned, Eddie, the time of possession with the big plays and the big strikes. And, you know, there was a couple times I looked and I saw Derek Carr was the leading rusher. And that's just not how the Raiders are going to win ball games.
I mean, Jesse, you obviously have kind of a different view of things than Logan and I. Why on earth was the run game not able to get going today? Even in the games where, you know, earlier this season, where maybe it wasn't where you'd want it to be. I mean, Josh was still effective when he got his chances. But today, whether it was Josh, whether it was Devonta, I mean, like Logan said, Derek Carr was the leading rusher for leading into the third quarter. Like, where did it all kind of get screwy today?
Yeah, to be honest, because I was asking myself that question too as I'm watching the game, and I couldn't really come up with much of an answer other than it just kind of seemed like they went away from it, you know, in key times and things like that. And that's where I was kind of confused. Yes, I know how good this Bucs defense is against the run, but I think when you've got a guy like Josh Jacobs and he's going to be your guy, that's your identity, and you got a guy like Gruden who loves to do that, you got to keep pounding the rock and find those holes, and then you start hitting the play action and things like that. At least make them honor it. But maybe that's where some of the miscommunication came in along the offensive line, you know, because, again, they only allowed 2 sacks, but maybe some of that was in terms of run blocking and things like that and how they're reading it, you know, coming up to their blocks and stuff. And, you know, I would guess that's probably where some of it really comes in for this Raiders offensive line, and maybe just not having their legs under him. Colton mentioned he's got a gym in his garage, but you can't do the same thing that you can do out on the field and then all of a sudden have to go against guys like JPP and Ndamukong Suh and, you know, Shaq Barrett, Devin White. You know, you keep going. The list just keeps going on and on against these guys.
You know, our socials are Matt Walks was talking to us after the game and, you know, kind of following up what Colton had to say. And like you said, he goes, you know, God bless Colton for getting his work in, and we're all dealing with these incredibly bizarre circumstances. And the fact that we even were able to field a legitimate starting offensive line is a credit to Tom Cable and everything that he's done this year. But he goes, it's wild to think that Colton was at home getting work next to his Mazda CX-5 or what, you know, whatever. I'm sure he's driving a fancier car than that. But that's what he had to do to get ready for this game. And then you look at him, you're going against JPP and guys like that. But, oh, man, I don't know. Like, we all love the sexiness. We all love the touchdowns. We all love going deep to Henry Ruggs 5, 6, 7 times a game. But I wonder, Jesse, like, does it make sense at this juncture for us to go back to who we've been? I know maybe – did we going to kind of get – I don't want to say deceived at all, but – was the game against the Chiefs maybe the outlier and not really who Gruden wants this offense to be, you know, kind of in perpetuity?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think he's going to do that in matchups when he's against offenses that are going to be aggressive like that. And I think this Bucs offense is one where you need to have that kind of mentality. You need to be aggressive like he was against the Chiefs. Because, look, I mean, they put up 45 points, and I know that's a little bit of a crooked number based off of the way the game flow really went. But this is a team you got to be aggressive against. And I liked some of the aggressiveness that Gruden did show in his play calling today. But, I think you do got to go back to your bread and butter. And one thing to your previous question, too, I would like to see him maybe take some more runs up the A block. You know, Vita Vea, he's not on this defense anymore. He's done for the year. That's kind of one of the holes. And obviously, again, they do have Sue, but just start kind of keep pounding it up the gut. Keep pounding, pounding, pounding. That's, you know, Gruden's bread and butter. You do that, eventually you're going to wear those guys down or at least get them out of the game to start some sort of rotation. And maybe you can get back to that, what you like to do, to run the ball, control the clock, you know, keep Tom Brady on the sidelines. That was the whole thing against the Chiefs. So you do that, and I highly doubt they put up 45 points, no matter how bad the defense plays.
You know, and it's crazy. You bring up a great point, Jesse. And Logan, I'm curious for your 2 cents on it, where I know that the number is ugly, right? 45 points, you lose by what's the math? You lose by 25 points, whatever it was today. Like, that's not good. But with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it's a four-point game. It's a one-possession game. And Logan, it did feel like we just went away from the run. We went away from Josh. We went away from, you know, pounding the rock in the way that we used to, you know, we've typically grown accustomed to seeing them do. And do you think it was kind of like a matchup thing? It was a, you know, the offensive line wasn't at full strength, a mixture of everything. Like, I wonder why, and I know we'll probably have a better idea when we go back and watch the game tomorrow, but it felt like the offense was just collectively kind of just out of sorts and just kind of funky.
Yeah, and I mean, it goes back to the week they had coming off the bye. And, you know, there's a couple of moments, Eddie, you know, you can question the field goal if you want, but
I'm fine with the field goal. I'm 100% okay with the field goal.
Sure, and I mean, we've seen some takes on that, but I mean, yeah, it's, you know, the four-point game, and the Bucs are in a 3rd-and-13 or 3rd-and-12, whatever it was, and they converted. And, you know, I think that was that. I mean, Gruden mentioned it. That's exactly where they wanted them. And, you know, Brady converted, and this game could be a lot different. And the other one, too, was the overthrow of Waller. You know, if that's a completion, you know, Eddie, we could be sitting here talking about other things. So those were the big ones for me. And, you know, what a week it was. And, you know, the offense came out super strong. You know, Aguilar over the middle, you know, and then the touchdown. And you just, I think as the game went on coming off the bye, maybe it was the legs under them. I'm not sure, Eddie, but you know, there was some big plays on the offense, and it just kind of, you know, we couldn't get the stop when we needed it.
You know, Jesse, I saw you have a reaction to the field goal. Like, where do you come down on that? Because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be talking about it. And did it end up affecting the game in a huge way? Not really when you lose by 25, but it's definitely a talking point for sure. How do you kind of, where do you lay down on? Should they take in the points, or do you go for that fourth down?
I'm with you. Take the points at that point. You know, there's over 12 and a half minutes left in the game. At some point, your defense has to make a stop. You got to be able to count on them at some point. And, you know, again, take the points when you can get them. The defense had come up with a couple stops, maybe not necessarily the defense itself forcing the stops, maybe Brady, you know, a couple errant passes here and there. But at that point, you got to keep yourself in it, because if you don't take the points there, then the Bucs get the ball. And we saw how they kind of methodically moved down the field, and they eat up all that clock, and it's a two-possession game anyway at that point. So I don't have any problem with him going for the three there.
It's the old man in me, but 99 times out of 100, I always take the points. Like, I get crucified on Twitter for it, like, every time it comes up, and I'm always like, take the points, because the last thing you want to have happen, and obviously it didn't happen today, but you're looking down with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you're like, oh, man, I really could have used those extra 3 points instead. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big believer in doing it. I know it's kind of the old school approach. I would be curious what the analytics nerds have to say about that. But, like, I'm take the points, man. Take the points. But you brought up the defense, and unfortunately we're going to have to get to the defense. Is there an answer to – what are we in, week 7? We're headed into week 8. Is this pass rush, is it going to get better? And is there anything that this team realistically can do to garner more pressure? Because you have one hit on Brady, who, God bless him, is the GOAT, but it's not the most mobile – of people at 42 years old or whatever he is. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I think you got to bring somebody in. I know they're trying to bring in David Irvin in free agency and, you know, all that stuff, but you got to figure out a way to bring other people in, because obviously the group that they have in there isn't getting it done. And I honestly, I don't want to heap as much praise on the Chiefs game as everybody else wants to, because I think a lot of that had to do with Pat Mahomes back there buying time. So it's more time for you to get to him. Don't get me wrong, they did play well and the effort was 100% there. But I don't think it was, you know, they're here, the rush is here, as a lot of people made it out to be in that game against the Chiefs. And I think this is another one that just kind of showed, hey, look, this is the D-line. This is where they're at right now. They're just not getting the pressure that they need. The guy that consistently, I think, in my mind, that pops up the most is Mo Hurst. I mean, you got to start shuffling around, do something, because you can't have him be the only guy that's really consistently getting pressure to kind of affect quarterbacks. And again, he was the one knockdown that we saw in this game.
And here's a great question too, is I know that Gunther typically, historically speaking, doesn't like to blitz a lot. And I understand that. Like everyone, every defensive coordinator has the things they do, the things they don't like to do. But at some point, if you're looking at your team, do you have to say, hey, LaMarcus, hey, Corey Littleton, hey, Arden, whoever it is, like, someone go get, pin our ears back and let's go. Like, I wonder, like, are we getting to that point where, like, what do you have to lose? You're letting up 45 points in a game. Like, let's try to mix it up here. Let's get a little spicy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well. Again, what do you have to lose? You already gave up 45 points. So I think maybe when you get Arnett back, that's where maybe they feel a little more confident, leaving those guys kind of out on an island, so to speak. And then when they do have Abram in there, when he's not having to miss a game, you know, you feel a little bit better on the back end as well. But you definitely got to start doing something. Do something to help your D-line out, because how many times after games have we had to hear Gruden and the defensive linemen talk about, you know, okay, hey, we're rushing forward, we're not getting there. It's, you can't keep saying that.
I mean, what do you think, Logan? Is this kind of who we are approaching the halfway point of the season? Is there realistically anything we could do to expect it to change, whether or not drastically, but change at least a little bit in a positive direction?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are exactly right. And, you know, bringing in a David Irving and seeing what he can do. And I guess, you know, we had two guys that, you know, applied some pressure against the Chiefs that aren't on the active roster right now. And I don't know what, you know, if Chris Smith needs to come back up and if it's a rotation thing. But, yeah, I mean, it needs to be addressed. We need to bring an extra guy, maybe blitz more, which is scary to say, but I think you guys are right. I mean, what do you have to lose? And, you know, it's not working though, Eddie. I think, you know, you guys are both right on that.
You know, Jesse, I've never fancied myself an X's and O's guy, a football guy, whatever you want to call it. But I'm just curious. I think we're both in agreement that I think our most consistent guy through 7 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is now, has been Mo Hurst. And a lot of the time he's working in the middle, he's working up the interior. Wouldn't conventional wisdom suggest that Mo getting that push from the middle would free up something for the Maxes, the Arden Keys? Like, there would be some sort of kind of domino effect from Mo getting that push, you know, literally right in the quarterback's face.
Yeah, you would think so. And you would think it would force things to kind of bounce outside and get them a little closer to those guys on the edge. And today I kind of watched a couple of times and it just seemed like hand fighting, you know, for lack of a better word. That's just kind of what was going on down there. And you got to find a way to maybe mix up the pass rush repertoire, you know, start mixing it up for the guys on the edge there. I mean, obviously I love Max, love Klee, but they got to figure out a way to get more consistent pressure on the outside to maybe funnel it into a guy like Mo. And again, you know, maybe Gruden has to have another talk with Malik Collins about, you know, hey, look, you're going to be the linchpin. And Gruden mentioned all year long that he was going to be the linchpin. And so far he's been kind of non-existent. And so has the pass rush as well, kind of go along with it.
You know, one thing that I thought was interesting that Corey Littleton was asked post-game, he was asked essentially, you guys got so much pressure, you did so well against the Chiefs last week. What's kind of the difference between last week to this week? And he said, oh, you know, they're two very different plans because they're very two different quarterbacks. But like I said, man, I'm certainly not a football savant. I've never pretended to be. But at some point, isn't pressure pressure? Like if you're able to generate pressure against Team A, wouldn't you think you'd be able to generate pressure against Team B?
Yeah, you'd think so, but even with Brady, though, he's such a big, you know, rhythm guy. You know, three steps, get the ball out. And technically, that really hasn't been the case with him on this Bucs team. They're more of an explosive offense, you know, comparatively to when he was in New England. They're a rhythm offense. It's the quick passes to Edelman, Gronk, and things like that, you know, just dumping it off. And this one, they're letting things develop a little bit more. But at the end of the day, Brady's still that dude that likes to get the ball out of his hands quick. So I think a lot of the times the time wasn't there. But again, even today, how many times do we see Brady just chilling back there, you know, with all the time in the world to kind of move around, shuffle his feet? You know, he's not Pat Mahomes back there running around, but he had plenty of time to kind of move wherever he needed to. So, yeah, I think the whole book on Brady is you get pressure on him and that's going to frustrate him. I mean, again, manufacture ways to get pressure if you can't get it with your four there.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the story of the next week and the next 2 weeks and the next three, four, whatever weeks is, until there's an answer to the question, how is this team going to generate pressure? And not only generate pressure, but generate consistent pressure. All right, before we crack some cold ones, we look ahead to Cleveland and the next week, and hopefully, dear God, give us a normal schedule week. Let's hear a little something from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
All right, back at Allegiant Stadium with Jesse Merrick and the Digital Don, Logan Norton. And gentlemen, first off, I kind of joked about it before the break, but dear God, can we just get a normal week? Can we get a normal Monday to Friday? Like, is there too much to ask in 2020? Like, I'm kind of answering my own question when I say that. But yeah, it might be a little too much to ask. But Cleveland coming off of a big win this week, or earlier, I should say this morning, in fact. But God, it feels like you don't want to put too much emphasis on one game, unless it's like the must-win Week 17 win and you're in type situation. But Logan, it feels like we really kind of got to get this train back on the tracks on the road next week, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, this would be a great start, Eddie, because, you know, I've mentioned a couple times the schedule opens up a little bit. It's been quite a 7 weeks for the Raiders, you know, and Cleveland's working through some things. They've, you know, had a couple injuries, and I know Baker's been a little banged up. So I think that, you know, this could be a big game, a big bounce back game, if you will, and, you know, start getting that momentum, you know, after the bye, get the momentum going again and put a couple wins together.
I mean, and Jesse, you know how fans are, but maybe Raiders fans, maybe a little more than most folks, where the sky is falling, things are terrible. We're never going to taste victory again. Oh, my God. This team's 3-3. They had an absolute behemoth of a first 6 weeks. Like, things are going to be okay, but I think that collectively, like I said, we'd like to come back from Cleveland feeling a little bit better than we do right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it's not a must win. It's a, hey, you should probably win this game so you can get to feeling a little better about yourself. But again, like you said, you're 3-3 after going through the gauntlet of some insane quarterbacks and then a defense like Tampa. I mean, even Derek Carr said it. Many people thought they would be 1-5 at this point in the season. And then you say, okay, well, the schedule gets easier. Now they can start to turn it around. They're 3-3. I mean, you can go anywhere from here. That's the thing I think people got to hang their hat on. You know, I know this one sucks. I know the game against the Pats sucked. Hold on to that Chiefs win and kind of hope for better things coming up again with a lighter schedule here against the Browns team that maybe without Odell now too. Apparently he suffered a knee injury in that one. So we'll see what happens there. And then, you know, the rest is history. You kind of see what happens down the stretch here. And this could be a very different team because it's clear they're good. Their offense can score. It's just a matter of doing it and having some defense to stop them. And they're not going to have to worry about these prolific offenses for the next couple weeks here at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny too. We're like, this is my, gosh, 8th season doing it. And regardless of the season, the year, whatever, it's always the same. You win a game, you're unstoppable, you're on top of the world, you're walking a little bit taller, you have a six-pack abs again, and you lose, even if it's to the greatest quarterback of all time. You feel absolutely terrible. It's going to be a crummy week. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we all know how this goes. But let's do it. I think it's about that time to crack some ice-cold Coors Lights, get out of here, enjoy a little desert evening because it's getting cold outside, gentlemen. Like, the heat is gone. Logan, you told me that the heat was going to leave. And I'm looking at the weather report. It's like 40 degrees tomorrow. So I think you're right that the heat has indeed departed. But Jesse, you are our guest this week. You want to crank things going or crank it off? See what we see.
Yeah, let's get it. All right. So today I got to crack open a cold one to the offensive line. We talked about them all day. You know, everything they went through this entire week, and they still only gave up 2 sacks. You know, for the most part, kept Carr clean. That is a feat in itself. Having literally a morning to prepare for this one with even Colton Miller working out in his car or working out in his garage next to his Mazda, as he said, you know. So I think you definitely got to crack one open for those guys. Heck of a performance. Everybody was complimentary of them. Tip of the cap to those guys. That was an unreal outing for them, given the situation that could have gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we'll get to Logan in a sec. Sorry, Logan. But, I mean, we were talking about that ahead of the game, too, where it's like you worry a little bit. And I think it's just human nature where these guys haven't been in the building in a week. They haven't had any practice reps. Like, you worry against a defensive front like the Bucs, like, all right, this could get really bad. And you worry about the safety of your franchise quarterback. You worry about Josh, who's an incredibly valuable piece of this team. But but they hold up. I know it wasn't the prettiest game. I know that they all probably don't feel great about themselves going home tonight, but give them a ton of credit, man, like you said, because they were operating under far from ideal circumstances. They came in, they were mixed and matched all along the offensive line, and you know what? They did it. They got through to the other side. Nothing catastrophic happened. It wasn't beautiful, but we got to the other side. So, Logan, what do you got, my friend?
I guess I'll go open a cold one for Nelson Aguilar, Eddie. Dude's been, like we mentioned, he's been unreal, been showing up, making plays. You know, I mentioned he's got a couple he probably wants back tonight, but overall, through six games, I mean, he's been more than we could have, you know, asked for out of his signing. And you're right, maybe it is the desert. It's you know, it's the new home, it's the new team, and he's making plays. So, Nelson, this one's for you.
Who would have known that this dry desert air would just reborn? It would cause a rebirth for the great Nelson Aguilar. I feel like he's like a member of the Eagles or something. Like, you get him further away from the desert and his blood starts to, you know, boiling. He's got to be close to the heat. He's got to be close to the action. But I'm going to crack a cold one for Tom Cable, man. I'm going to just piggyback everything off of you. Said, Albert, when you said Jesse, where, I mean, God bless Tom Cable. What a year for him. Like, I would love to sit down and actually enjoy an ice cold Coors Light or several with him when this all wraps up, because this guy has dealt with so much over the past 3-4 months, whatever it is. Trent Brown goes down. Richie Incognito goes down. Today, Gabe Jackson gets tossed for a reason that we're still trying to find an answer to. John Simpson comes in. Denzel Good has played everywhere along the offensive line. Like, poor Tom Cable. I mean, is it good that he doesn't, you know, he goes with the bald look? Because his hair must be thinning at an incredible rate dealing with all of his stress. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, it's probably, like, at this point, I would imagine just, like, almost comical to him. Like, I picture, like, this world where, like, Gruden looks over to him during the third quarter and is like, all right, Tom, what do we got now? Like, this, it's just, it truly is, like, kind of laughable how many iterations of this offensive line that we've seen in 2020. But good for Tom Cable, man. He's gotten these guys up every single week. And I know that there's a lot of things on this team that are not perfect. And I know that there's things on this team that we want improved and to be better going forward and that are going to have to be better going forward. But the offensive line, I think, by and large, has held up in a really, really strong way. God, we'll be on our third – was it third right tackle today? Because we had no Trent. Sam Young goes down. So Brandon Parker steps in and goes, gosh, probably more than 50% of the snaps. And, I mean, dude, it's been a collective effort, and we talk all the time about the big boys up front and how they're a unit, and every single member of that unit has been utilized in 2020. And I'm sure that when all is said and done, we're going to have a few more names that we're going to talk about along that offensive line. So Tom Cable, my friend, you deserve many, many, many ice cold Coors Lights, but I'll crack this one for you here right now. So on that note, we are out of here. Not our best day, honestly, we're not going to remember this one. I guess we will remember the fact that we did get to see Tom Brady go to Gronk, and we did see Tom Brady in the infamous quarterback sneak. We saw all that, which will be kind of cool 20 years from now, but not a lot of positives to take out from today. Like I said, there's going to be days like this. I think realistically, this was a tough test for the Raiders given the week that they've had, but you know, the effort was there, to quote Gruden. The effort was outstanding. You just got to, be a little bit better getting the ball in the end zone. So, Freddie Pascal, the digital Don Logan Norton, our guest this week, Jesse Merrick, DJ Frankie on the ones and twos, engineer Jamie, who helps us on the back end, and everyone else who helps get our little program from A to Z. We thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And we will catch you guys on Thursday, because God, please, please, please give us a normal week. And that will be our normal edition of Upon Further Review. So in the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll catch you guys later in the week.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.